Hosea chapter 10, verse 1 through 12. What we'll do is, I want to read the 12th verse first, and then I'll slowly go through the first 11. Verse 12, as Hosea, not Isaiah, Hosea, 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Here we have a challenge, a command to the prophet, to Israel, to break up fallow ground, areas that have been neglected, areas that have been left alone. My question to all of us, including myself, is what are areas in our hearts and lives that we have neglected? Have we neglected prayer, the reading and studying of Scripture? Have we neglected our marriages? Have we neglected our children? Have we neglected relationships? Have we neglected our bodies, our moral issues? We live in a time and age and in a nation that is full of fallow ground. Because the word fallow means land that has undergone plowing and harrowing and has been left unseeded for one or more growing seasons. Land that is plowed and left unseeded for a season or more, uncultivated, not in use, inactive. That's the definition of fallow. Inactive. Sometimes we see city buses zoom by and it says, not in service. And that describes many people. People are not in service when it comes to God or others. They're not in service when it comes to prayer and worship. They're not in service in doing good deeds. They're simply inactive. Yes, the ground was cultivated at one time. The land was prepared for one time. It was meant to be a fruitful life, fruitful seasons, but it never happened. That is describing what fallow means. The word describes perhaps many promising lives that began so wonderfully, people that used to be on fire for the Lord. They would never miss a function or meeting in the church. They were fruitful and faithful, but eventually caved to the pressures of this world and their feelings and became disinterested in the things of God. That's fallow ground. We live in a nation with a society that is not aware of the dire consequences of the sins that have been called normalized. And the majority doesn't care about the judgment of God that is coming. Today, we smile, even evangelical circles, they smile when they say, yes, in old time, the old way of preaching used to be fire and brimstone, and we're past all that. Except we're not. The reality is that judgment will come one day. And that happened to Israel. We look at the book of Hosea. It's Hosea. In chapter 10, the first five verses, The condition of Israel was, in verse 1, Israel was a spreading vine. It was. Spreading, fruitful vine. Now listen carefully when you read this. He brought forth fruit for himself, and his fruit increased. And as it increased, he built more altars. As his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Idolatry. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. So their condition here is described. Yes, they were successful, but only successful for themselves. They're described here as rebellious and as selfish, and they became in the end an empty vine. They were slack in doing what God wanted. They had divided hearts, divided loyalties, misplaced loyalties. See, Israel's heart wasn't with the Lord as it should have been. Although they believed in the Lord, they just added a lot of other idol worship that came, and slowly it just pushed out the true worship that wasn't even possible anymore. Elijah on Mount Carmel, he had this experience. He asked them, "How long will you swing back and forth between two opinions? How long will you go on one side and then on the other side?" He says, "Is Baal the Lord, and follow him? Is God the Lord, and follow him?" And as he said that, remember, the Bible says that the people did not answer him a word. And that was stubbornness. That was callousness. That was the condition that is called a fallow ground. In verse 3, here in Hosea chapter 10, "Then they will say, 'We have no king because we did not revere the Lord. But even if we had a king, what could he do for us?'" So the attitude that is described in verse 3 here is that Israel says, "We reject all authority. We're not going to have a king. We're not even having the Lord as our authority. We do what we please. We bring fruit for ourselves. Everything is for ourselves. I, me, and myself." That's the Holy Trinity, or unholy Trinity, better, that they lived by. And they were rejecting the Lord. They were rejecting authority. In verse 4, they make many promises, take false oaths, and make agreements. So they made promises, they took oaths, and they didn't mean it. You see, if we make promises to the Lord, we should keep them. Therefore, it says, lawsuits spring up like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. This is according to the NIV. But then the glory of the Lord had to depart. In verse 5, the people who live in Samaria fear for the calf idol of Beth Aven. Its people will mourn over it, and so will its idolatrous priests, those who had rejoiced over its splendor, because it is taken from them into exile. The ground of Israel's spiritual and moral condition was fallow. It didn't bear any fruit, became useless. And therefore God was threatening judgment. And this is described in verses 6 through 11, that their judgment would come. God did not overlook it. He said, you will be carried into captivity. There will be a lot of confusion. There will be a lot of chastisement. You will be conquered by foreign powers. And in verse 12, there's the only hope that they had was verse 12. Sow to yourself righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord. And I wish that our entire nation would hear God's word today and would hear and heed these words that the prophet of old said in those times. How do you end this dire condition, this fallow ground, this fruitless soil, where nothing has been seeded, where nothing has grown? First, we are called to remember how it used to be with the Lord. How it used to be when God blessed honest people, honest seeking of his people. In Job chapter 8, verse 8 through 10, I will read several scripture verses now, so please bear with me. Job says, ask the former generation and find out what their ancestors learned. Why is that important? Does the young generation even want to know what their parents and grandparents went through? What God did in their lives, the good and the bad, where God disciplined them, where God intervened, where God judged, and where God blessed, and where God encouraged, and where God did miracles, all of those things, do we even want to know? You see, the saying that history repeats itself is actually true, I think. Because new generations forget what God did in older generations. And if God's people are not careful, we will make the same mistakes that people before us, generations, and even Israel did. And this is repeated over and over in the history of Israel. They always ended up doing the same thing that their ancestors did, where, as they should have known, well, I don't want to do what they did, because God really punished them. Ask of the former things, for we were born only yesterday. We were born only yesterday and know nothing, and our days on earth are but a shadow. Will they not instruct you and tell you? Will they not bring forth words from their understanding, referring to the old generation? You see, the older generation connects us to history that was before we lived. And this is so important to hear that. And I know what some of you may say, well, I hear my parents saying the same thing over and over again. Well, maybe we haven't really understood it. Maybe they need to tell us over and over again so we will never forget. When a nation, when a people do not learn from the past generations, they run into big trouble. Because really, it is like they want to reinvent the wheel. They want to reinvent everything. If we don't invent it, then I'm not interested in it. No. What has brought us to the technology and to the way we live today is a collection of knowledge from previous generation, because the new generation, technically, they have learned what works and doesn't work, and they build on that, what works and doesn't work, and discover new things. And this is also true spiritually, that we collectively learn what works and what doesn't work, what attitudes were bad and which attitudes were good. So the old people can, if they're honest, they can tell us. I used to do this. I used to think this. I used to think that, but the Lord taught me otherwise. How wonderful when we get to ask the older generation. Then in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, we read that we need to consider and remember what we have lost if we have fallow ground. Consider how far you have fallen. That was the word to Israel that time. Consider why and how far you have fallen. In other words, wake up one day and say, how did I get here where I am today? How did I come to this? And people often wake up to this and they say, well, I don't know how I got here. I need to change my life. I need to turn around. And the call is out there, especially spiritually, that people would wake up, that those that have fallow ground, those that have backslidden, that they would ask themselves, how did I slide back so far? Why am I so far from the Lord? Why is the Bible nothing to me anymore? Why doesn't it speak to me anymore like it used to? It's very important to ask those questions. In Proverbs 22, verse 28, it says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And then back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Unfinished means fallow ground. We need to recognize our responsibility. And here is a very sobering thought. You and I cannot take responsibility for somebody else's attitude or words or actions. We can only take responsibility for our own attitudes, our own thoughts, our own actions. And if everyone is doing that, a lot of things can happen. Our responsibility is that our fallow ground, that unworked ground, that area to which we have paid no attention in a long time would be plowed again and made fruitful. We say, well, I cannot do that. Yes, we are responsible for the condition of the ground that we have in our hearts. We can have a hardened heart, we can have an ignorant heart like Israel did, or we can have a sensitive heart, a believing heart that God can form and God can use in a tremendous way. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when he was met by Jesus Christ at his conversion, the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 5 and 6, Saul said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now Jesus could have told Saul of Tarsus right here and right then what he needed to do. But no, he needs the whole church. It wasn't Ananias that was supposed to come to him and meet him and tell him what to do. That's how God operates. A lot of times we don't take the responsibility to ask questions. Lord, what do you want me to do? And to seek advice from spiritual leaders and ask them, what do you want me to do in this situation? That's how fallow ground is being broken up. That we ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord will sometimes guide us and say, well, go to the pastor, go to a spiritual leader, go to your parents, go to a spiritual trusted friend and ask him for advice, ask him for prayer. And I will tell you through this process what you need to do. But most people think they know what to do. And that's a spirit of independence, a spirit of pride and arrogance that will lead us nowhere, and the ground will stay fallow. The Bible tells us to ready the ground, to get it ready, to plow the field. If you have an area of your life that you have been neglecting, start plowing that field. Start allowing God in. Start asking the Holy Spirit to go into that area and to just let him tell you and reveal to you what to do. And that happens through prayer. And I cannot overemphasize this. Loved ones, we need to pray more. Someone says, well, you can pray too much too. I don't think so. We need to pray more. I know we talk a lot. We like to talk. And if we don't talk like 10,000 or 20,000 words a day, something is wrong. But what if we would pray half that? In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and through 4, it says, continue earnestly in prayer. If you have fallow ground, pray. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you plow that soil, prepare that soil, prepare the attitudes of your hearts, the inner chambers of the hearts, everything that's in your heart. Bring it before the Lord. Now, isn't that interesting that people think they can hide something before the Lord? You know, I want to confess something. Yeah, I'll confess to this and this, but not to this and this. And the Lord sees that. He knows exactly what's in our hearts. So I pray, Lord, you know everything that's in my heart. And if I don't even see it and you still see it, then I pray Psalm 139. Remember that? Search me, O God. So important. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Plow the field with prayer. If the Word of God is supposed to be fruitful in our own lives, plow the field with prayer. The next one is plow the field with brokenness. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. He saves such as have a contrite spirit. Have you found that when you're really, really sorry for your sins, when you're really broken about it, how God, in his wonderful, sometimes mysterious way, has a way to bless you with forgiveness and this peace that is beyond all human understanding? Have you experienced that? Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. That is plowing the fallow ground, making it to the Lord, coming to the Lord and asking him, Lord, give me that acceptable broken spirit, that godly sorrow that is so healing and so fruitful. That is preparing that soil and then releasing the seed. The seed has to be released after the fallow ground has been plowed and prepared. The word of God is the seed. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. The parable is this. Jesus says, the seed is the word of God. First to ourselves. The Bible says here, seed righteousness to yourselves and for yourselves. True righteousness that stands before God, that is in Jesus Christ. And only by the blood of Jesus, this righteousness is possible. We often talk about self-righteousness. People who are self-made, so to speak, they also practice a self-righteousness, which comes out of pride, and pride comes before the fall. But we need to sow the seed into our hearts first. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, be diligent and study to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So be diligent, be studying the word of God and present yourself approved to God. That is the preparation, because the word of God is the seed that needs to get into the heart, the soil of the heart, that can then bear fruit. Where do we sow the seed? In the field, the Bible tells. The world is the field. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. How do we seed? And how do we sow? 1 Timothy 6, verse 4 and 5. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is in accordance with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute for the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. So the Bible tells there is bad seed out there. That you and I need to be careful not to allow bad seed into our hearts, but also that we seed or sow good seeds that will bring righteousness. In closing, I'd like to read Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. Cast your bread upon the waters. The Bible is clear that you and I are responsible to share the word of God through the example of our lives, our attitudes, and our relationship with Christ, and to evangelize. Actually, the Bible doesn't say evangelize. The Bible says go and make disciples. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb, or her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. In other words, just keep focused on sowing the seed. As long as we live here, we need to sow good seed, whether it's in our own hearts, our own lives. Once we have this fallow ground worked on, and through prayer and through confession, because the Bible says, seek the Lord. It is time to seek him, because he will give us rains of righteousness. He will give the fruit that he desires. See, the only cure for our nation and for our churches with fallow ground is one word, and that is repentance. There's no other way around it. Fallow ground cannot be broken up and not become fruitful unless there is repentance. There is brokenness, and there is a seeking of the Lord, seeking after him, pursuing him with a passion, and saying, Lord, I'm not satisfied with what I have. I want more. And maybe the Lord is showing you today that you have fallow ground in certain areas of your life. Plow it up. Prepare it through prayer, through brokenness, through repentance, and allow Christ to give you the seed that is sown to righteousness so you bear fruit to his glory and honor. Amen.